From the pulpit of the Capital City Baptist Church, we present Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of Pastor Adam Thompson and the Capital City Baptist Church. I'd invite you to stay with us because at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you our contact information. And now with a message from the Word of God, here's Pastor Adam Thompson.
Luke chapter 13, and we'll begin reading in verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it to the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let alone this year also, till I shall dig about it, and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. I want to preach on that phrase that we saw in verse 8. This year also, as we look forward to a new year, 2016, just around the corner, every year is anew. It's a time of new beginnings. And I hope you don't ever stop making resolutions, although many are broken and never accomplished. That doesn't matter. You want to set some goals and examine yourself and go into the new year making a commitment to do better than you've ever done before, although it is amazing that the same problems and perplexities that we have in our lives on Thursday night, the last day of the year, we'll wake up with those same problems on Friday morning. But with greater grace, greater mercy, greater strength, amen, and greater commitment to get involved in what God is doing in our lives. But here's what I want you to see. It's amazing that God has given us another year. And here's what we have. We find ourselves in this parable in a vineyard. And you have the owner, which of course we know is God, the vine dresser, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is speaking specifically to the nation of Israel. There's also a personal and a practical application this morning, and that's what I want to look at, because God wants us producing a fruit, and that's what this is about. It says in verse 6, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and he sought fruit. And here's what a new year demands: retrospect. So this owner goes out. He had specifically, now I don't believe this was a vineyard of fig trees. That's not what takes place. But in this vineyard, he had planted this tree with a specific purpose in mind. This is obviously a very reasonable request. If you plant a fruit tree, now here's what you do in vineyards. This is pretty logical. You plant trees that produce fruit. You're not planting cedars or oaks or pines. You're planting trees because you want them to produce fruit. Here's what John 15, verse 16 says. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and what? Bear fruit. And as Christians, here's our purpose. This is our command. As we go into the new year, it ought to be the focus of all of our thoughts, doing something more for God than we've ever done. And when you speak of fruit in the Bible, the fruit of a Christian, there are a lot of references. You don't have to turn there, but Colossians 1:10 speaks of being fruitful in every good work. Hebrews 13:15 speaks of thanksgiving, and that is the fruit of our lips. Galatians 5:22 and 23 speaks of the fruit of the Spirit: love and joy and peace and all those things that we see in the average Christian home in this day and age. All those things, the fruit of the Spirit. And Proverbs 11:30 speaks of the fruit of the righteous as a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. Speaking of the fruit of winning souls. And if we look back in retrospect this year and think about the opportunities that God has given us, some of those were missed. We talk about our resolutions, and some were unfulfilled. But aren't you glad God's mercy gives us this year also? I'm glad His grace and His mercy didn't stop. despite the report that was received, because he goes out, he looks at his fig tree, he seeks fruit, and look what the last two words of that verse says. They say he found none. Now, no worse words could be spoken of a fruit tree than these. There is no fruit. Now, we've all seen trees, and some of us have had trees in our yard, and we, because we're not owners of a vineyard, we didn't care that much. We didn't pay that much attention. We didn't properly care for that tree, and as a result, there wasn't much fruit, but at least there were some pieces of fruit. I remember in Argentina, we had an orange tree, and it was pitiful. It was absolutely pitiful, and Kim and I both have the gift of killing plants. But we had this orange tree, and we would go out there, and every year we would pick the few oranges that that tree produced, and then we would make a decision. Do we actually want to taste these pieces of fruit? Do we want to? No. And a couple times we did the taste test, and it didn't pass. The fruit didn't pass the taste test. But at least that sorry tree was producing something. And this fig tree, now this is a little bit redundant, but here's the report. 3 years in a row, the owner of that vineyard, now this tree had advantages. Because first of all, it was planted, the location alone was an advantage. It was planted in a vineyard. Now this wasn't accidental. You've seen trees before, even fruit trees. And there they were, you're wondering, what in the world is this tree doing here? Have you ever considered where God planted you? Now what excuse do we have for not bearing fruit? Just the very fact that we're planted in the United States of America means we ought to be bearing fruit. We're in a land where there is religious freedom. Now, there are many countries around the world you cannot own a Bible. You cannot pass out a tract. You cannot proselytize. You cannot openly witness. You cannot share your faith. The fruit of the Spirit revealed in a Christian life in some countries will cause your death. It will result in persecution. But in the United States of America, you can wear a T-shirt that identifies you as a Christian. You can put a bumper sticker on your car. You can carry a Bible to work. You can talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and face very little persecution. So this is a country where we've been planted, where we, that alone means we ought to be bearing fruit. A vineyard is a very protected place. Now, if you take a tree in any other environment, it's not going to have the same care, the same protection. Have you ever truly thought, taking 5 minutes, to thank God for where He planted you? And not just in any state. You ought to be thankful you're planted in Texas. You ought to be thankful that you're planted at Capital City Baptist Church. This is a place where you ought to be bearing fruit. Now, if you can't bear fruit in the United States of America, in Texas, at Capital City Baptist Church, you probably can't bear fruit at all. And don't think for a minute that all the excuses you came up with in your mind are acceptable to God. And He sits back in heaven and says, you know what? They're right. They're right. No time, busyness, family, rearing children, all these obligations. This tree right here, 3 years has produced no fruit. It's not an issue at all. It is an issue. Now, we're going to see the words of the owner here in just a moment. But a fruit tree has one purpose, and it's not firewood. Now, its purpose may become firewood, but as long as it is producing, that means it is fulfilling its purpose, and God likens us to fruit trees, and we're supposed to be producing fruit, but not every Christian, simply because that's their calling, that's the command, is producing what God demands of a Christian. So it was planted. There's a specific purpose. The vine dresser is the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever seen a neglected vineyard? How many think the Lord Jesus Christ neglects His vineyard? Now here's what God has done for us. He didn't put any vine dresser in charge of the vineyard. It's the tender and the compassionate and the loving and the gracious Lord Jesus Christ. And he is with us, speaking to us, using his word in us, putting the right friends around us, encouraging us, guiding us, leading us, convicting us, correcting us, so that we produce fruit. Now, if you were in someone else's vineyard, maybe it'd be excusable that you weren't producing fruit. But the very fact that you're in his vineyard means all excuse is now taken away. So if you're in his vineyard and he says, I came to take a look and do a little fruit inspection. Now here's what we have to decide: to follow him and allow him to do the inspection, do a little self-inspection and say, is there actually any fruit in my life? We confuse fruit with leaves and leaves with fruit. Because he came and he found leaves, he found no fruit. Now, here's what we're impressed with when it comes to trees. We're impressed with leaves. You know what everybody wants on their tree? Leaves. You know what they feel makes a tree beautiful? Leaves. We're too consumed with the production of leaves and not the production of fruit. Look what it says. Here's what God says, because several times in the scripture, he refers to fig trees, Mark chapter 11. Well, what if I'm already producing fruit? You know what God says? He wants more fruit. This year also, fruit and more fruit. Look what it says in Mark 11, verse 12. On the morrow, then they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, what did he see? Having leaves. And there is the deception, because we expect any fruit tree with leaves to be producing fruit. He came, if happily. Now what's going to make him happy? Fruit. Not the tree, not the leaves, but the fruit. Now if it's in the way, most likely it wasn't in a vineyard. So the tree that we find in the previous parable had an advantage of being in the right location, planted on purpose. This was a simple fig tree on the side of the road, but he found nothing but leaves. This, regrettably, is often typical of Christians, where there is nothing but leaves. Well, preacher, look what it says. The time of figs was not yet. Figs were out of season. How could he expect fruit out of season? God says all seasons are fruit seasons when it comes to the Christian. And Jesus answered and said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And we know by the sister text, because this parable is mentioned in three of the Gospels, that God cursed that tree and it immediately withered away. Why would God curse a tree? Because he wants it to be fruit-bearing and fulfill his purpose. 3 years, 36 months. That's a long time. That's three harvest cycles with no fruit. But how many Christians, year after year after year, in the right place with the right vine dresser, not producing fruit, whether that's the fruit of holiness or the fruit of thanksgiving or the fruit of reaching the lost? What can you do with 156 weeks? That's a long time to bear some fruit. As three summer cycles, three spring cycles, 10, listen, we're talking about 1,095 days to produce something. I would say there was a lot of patience involved. Now I want you to think about this. Think about all of the fruit that the owner had deserved to see or eat or enjoy from this tree during a 3-year time frame. And he was going to have to wait another year. How much fruit should God be enjoying from our lives? How long have you been saved? How much preaching have you heard? How responsible are you? How active has the Holy Spirit been in your life? What advantages has God given you? So at this point, he should have, and rightfully so, This is not demanding too much. This is not an unreasonable request. He says, with the investment that I put into you, I'm hoping for some kind of return on my investment. I want a life that honors me. Look what it says in verse 7. So here's his recommendation. The loving Heavenly Father. How many of you believe that the Bible says God is love? How many of you believe that? I don't mean God has love. God is full of love. God is love. And here's the word of God, the owner of the vineyard. He said to the dresser, the Lord Jesus Christ, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. What is the command? Cut it down. Cut it. Here's what God thinks of a tree that is not fulfilling its purpose. Cut it down. Now, here's what a Christian would think. Look at the leaves. This is a beautiful tree. All focused on the outward appearance. Be careful, because too much of Christianity is focused on the outward. And yes, we know that which is inward will be seen on the outward. I am not minimizing. You know that. I'm not minimizing the outward, but I am saying God looks at the heart. God knows the intentions. And there ought to be some fruit that is being produced beside leaves. And he says, cut it down. I've given it 3 years to produce. Now look at the next phrase. Why cumbereth it the ground? Why are we wasting good soil on an unproductive tree? God says, I planted you in a good place, good soil, good people, good environment, with a good word. You have everything you need. And then I gave you a vine dresser. You're getting proper nutrients. You're getting proper water. You're getting proper care. The Lord Jesus Christ has not kept anything back that would not help your spiritual growth. There's no improper chemicals in the soil. Jesus says, I've been taking care of this tree for 3 years. And God says, why cumbereth it the ground? That is beautiful soil being wasted on an unproductive tree. Make it firewood. That's the lovely and gracious and perfect Son of God interceding on our behalf despite our rebellion and our refusal to produce fruit. How many are thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and his patience? Because Jesus steps in, the vine dresser steps in. Now, maybe he saw a little bit of potential. Maybe he said, we're just getting to the point where I think it's going to produce fruit. Maybe he had fallen in love with that tree. Will you be patient one more year? This year also. Now, you know what this teaches us? The patience of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it also ought to stir our hearts to be patient with those around us. Because if Jesus has invested in us and received very little in return and stands up in our defense and says, God, don't cut this tree down yet. Give me another year. This year also I'm going to invest. In this year also I'm going to bless. In this year also I'm going to be patient. In this year also I'm going to push. In this year also I'm going to prop up. In this year also I'm going to water and fertilize. I'm going to dig around it, he says, and dung it, and I'm going to fertilize it and make sure that it has everything it needs to be a productive tree. You know what? If that doesn't make you shout this morning, when I sit back and look at how much God's invested in me and how little I've produced in return, I'm ashamed of myself, but I am thankful for the patience of the lovely Lord Jesus Christ, the vine dresser that looks over at this weak and feeble tree and says, hold on, don't cut it down. This year also, I'm going to invest in this tree, because at times the owner says, why cumbereth it the ground? Why are we wasting this spot and this soil
and this effort and this water and this fertilizer on this tree.
This year also means, it implies that there's a limit of time that'll be given. This wasn't open-ended. For whatever reason, he is interceding, but the reprieve is not indefinite. He says, this year, until I dig about it and dung it, it's a matter of time, despite the grace of God, before a barren tree will be cut down. It's just a matter of time. It is the grace of God, but Christian, don't think for a minute. You say, well, this is speaking to the nation of Israel. I understand this, but don't avoid the personal application. And at some point, God says, I'm not going to continue to invest this kind of time and this amount of energy and the grace of God in someone who refuses, because at some point it becomes a personal choice. And here's where the impetus is thrown on the individual. Look what it says in verse 9. And if, so the vine dresser cannot force the tree to produce fruit. Wouldn't it be nice if, just as a result of the investment of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, everyone bore fruit? The fruit of holiness, the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of thanksgiving, the fruit of lost souls being won. That would bless my heart as a preacher if every member of this church produced fruit. In season and out of season. But some have not produced fruit. Some may go months. Some may go years. But here's what the owner of the vineyard says. At some point, if there is no fruit, I will cut this tree down. And if, the vine dresser says, if it bear fruit, well, it'll go well. Now, here's what I'd be focused on as a born-again child of God. As a fruit tree planted in the vineyard, I want to make sure I am bearing fruit. And every year, I love this time of year because it's time to be retrospective and make sure that I am, this year, determined by the grace of God to bear more fruit than I've ever bore in my life. Well, Pastor, that's fine. Now, we know by the context in Luke 13:1, this is speaking of repentance. And repentance, true repentance, bears fruit. So when someone sees that they're barren in their life and repentance, the fruit will be obvious, not just to God, but to others. Well, Pastor, how do I bear fruit? I'm glad you asked. Look what it says in John 15. So I'm supposed to be bearing fruit. The owner has done a little inspection. He has a request. What he's seen has become redundant because there is a fruitlessness. That should not be so. John 15, 1. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, here it is. Do you see the principle? He taketh away. God does not forever put up with fruitlessness. And those that bear fruit, what's his purpose? He purgeth it that it may bring forth what? So this year also, well, Pastor, I'm producing fruit. God says, more fruit. This year also, I want you to not only bear fruit, to bear more fruit than you bore last year. Well, Pastor, I'm maxed out. God's not maxed out, and God's in the business of bearing fruit. Well, Pastor, I've had the best year that I've ever had, and I'm seeing fruits of righteousness, the peaceable fruits of righteousness and holiness in my life. And God says, I'm going to dig it and dung it. And the vine dresser says, I'll invest in it so it produces more fruit. So every tree that bears fruit, he's going to purge so that it may bring forth more fruit. You know what that means? He's going to have to get rid of some of the leaves, cut some of the branches, oh, that we're so impressed with. Well, God is purging. Why are you purging that? And God says, because it's leaves. It's sucking the life from the fruit. Verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Here it is. Abide in me. So how do we produce fruit? Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now hold on for a second. This isn't a possibility. This isn't a probability. This is an absolute. Well, Pastor, I am barren. God says, if you abide in me, you will bring forth fruit. If that branch is abiding in the tree, it will bring forth fruit. And if we are abiding in the Lord Jesus, God is fruit producing. We understand and we preach the fruit of the Spirit. We talk about walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, acting in the Spirit. Now, if we are not producing fruit, now, here's what we like to think. We like to categorize. Well, I'm bearing fruit of holiness. No, you're not. That's what God bears, that fruit. The Holy Spirit in you produces that fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that God produces, it's not one-dimensional. Here's what we think in life, that success is one-dimensional. Here's why Christian kids put up a picture of an athlete on their wall, quarterback, soccer star, because they think success is one-dimensional. That man may beat his wife. That man may be a fornicator. That man may be a drunkard. But because he's successful with his feet and kicking a ball through a net, success is not one-dimensional. And the fruit of the Spirit is not one-dimensional. And here's what Christians think. Well, I wear a suit and tie, so God's producing fruit. No. The Holy Spirit produces love and joy and peace and long-suffering and meekness and gentleness and faith. Well, I have a lot of faith. I'm not very gentle. Fruit of the fruit. This is a package deal. The fruit singular is multiple. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And when we are abiding in Him, that fruit is produced. Because without Him, what's the Bible say? And too much of Christianity is trying to be done without abiding in Him. Well, Pastor, I'm so frustrated. I'm not seeing this fruit. I can't produce this fruit. Oh, absolutely. The Bible tells you, you can't produce that. You know why there's no holiness? You're not abiding in Him. You want to know why there's no love? You're not abiding in Him. You want to know why there's no peace? You're not abiding in Him. You want to know why there's no gentleness? You're not abiding in Him. You want to know why you're not seeing souls saved? You're not abiding in Him. Because those that abide in Him will produce not just fruit, but more fruit, and eventually much fruit. You're going to have to cleave. Cleave to Him. Let's go, keep your finger there, but go to Psalms 1, a scripture that's well known. It repeats the same thing. The same principle about producing fruit. You're abiding in God. You're abiding in His Word. You're abiding in His temple. You're abiding in His principles. Verse 1, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth he meditate day and night. So when you see that abiding taking place, what's it say in verse 3? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Abiding means producing fruit. Now here's part of the same principle. It's impossible to abide in Him and abide with the wicked at the same time. You got to make a choice. Here's what many Christians think. I'm abiding in Christ, and at the same time, I'm abiding with people who don't abide in Christ. That's impossible. Verse 1 tells you that. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful.
well, Pastor, I'm stuck in this day job. I'm stuck in this university. I'm stuck in this place. And I'm surrounded by unbelievers. You may be there, but you don't have to be abiding with them. Abiding in their communication. Abiding in their conversation. Abiding in their culture. Abiding in their philosophy. Abiding in their way of life. It's impossible to grow that way. I'm amazed how many Christians tried to abide in this world, saturate themselves with the wrong friendships, and try to produce fruit. That's impossible. Some of you will not ever produce or see the Holy Spirit produce in you the right fruit until you get off internet, you close down a Facebook, you eliminate some of your imaginary friends, you turn off the TV, unplug the radio, stop all of that that's taking up so much of your mind, your thoughts, and your brain cells, and say, instead of abiding in all of that, which will only bring me down, I'm going to abide in Christ. I'm going to abide in His Word. Boy, if we replaced all that time that we spend with technology and we invested it in the Word of God, and it's a quick and easy exchange. There's a few weeks of withdrawals, shakes, the symptoms are grievous, but it's as simple as turning on a Bible app instead of turning on the computer. It's as simple as turning on a Bible app instead of turning on the radio. It's as simple as turning on the Bible app instead of turning on the television. And you can be abiding in Christ, and you'll be surprised at the result, and your mate will be pleasantly surprised. Your pastor will be pleasantly surprised. Your friends will be pleasantly surprised. Everyone will be pleasantly surprised. It's a good thing to pleasantly surprise someone occasionally. You do that through abiding in Him. You're going to have to cleave to Him. Go with me to John 12. How do I produce fruit? You're going to have to abide in Him 24/7. Why cumbereth it the ground? Why is it wasting good soil? Because there's no abiding in Christ. John 12. Look what it says in verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. And if it die, that's why He said, if it bear fruit, well, because that corn of wheat must first die. If it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So this isn't just about cleaving to God in order to bring forth fruit. This is about crucifying the flesh. No matter how many messages are preached, no matter what principles are taught, no matter what the church is or does for you, you must make a personal choice this year to crucify your flesh in order to produce fruit. Because the flesh is a fruit killer. How many of you couldn't understand that in your life? No matter how many determine, boy, I'm going to get in the book this year. And the alarm clock goes off and your flesh says, don't even get up. Your flesh will kill that fruit. Here's what we don't think about. Go with me to Galatians. Here's the part of this text that is often overlooked when speaking of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, how many understand this? If we're truly walking in the Spirit, every single born-again child of God, which is the majority of this congregation this morning, we would see 24/7 love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. What a beautiful place the church would be. Amen? We wouldn't see it in others, we would see it in ourselves, because we're pretty good at picking out those that are lacking in the fruit. We're supposed to be looking at ourselves. Inspection is personal. But look what it says. We read 22, we read 23, and we bypass 24, which tells us the key to seeing this fruit produced. and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So it's not just about cleaving to God, abiding in Him, but it's about the flesh has to be crucified in order for this fruit to be produced. So if your flesh is alive and well, and I promise you, if you woke up this morning, it is. How many wish at the moment of salvation, boy, God would just take care of that flesh for you? How many of you ever walked into New Year's and the night before you stayed up and you wrote a list and these are the things I'm going to do this year and the things I'm going to do for others and the things I'm going to do for God and by the grace of God, with the help of God, 365, we can't say that in 2016 because it's a leap year, 366 days this year, I am going to do that. And day one comes and you conquer your flesh. And day two comes and you are feeble, but you conquer your flesh. And day three comes and you stumble yet conquer your flesh. And day four, you get the beat down. Oh, you know, it seemed like a mighty army came up against you. It was a conspiracy of your children, your wife, your boss, and your neighbors conspiring against your Christianity. That was a reason for you fall, but you wake up the next day saying, now I'm not going to make it 2 days in a row, but you did. And your flesh is a monster. And this is why. Turn with me to Matthew 13, because when it speaks of the parable of the seed and the sower and the ground, here's one of the main reasons we don't see fruit produced from a good seed. Look what it says in Matthew 13, verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. What happened? The flesh, the care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, they choke out the word, and he becometh what? Unfruitful. And here's what the flesh does. The flesh uses that which is good to make us unfruitful. In a good church like this, with good people like this, you know what? I'm pretty convinced the problem is not alcohol. Pretty convinced that no matter what they say is permissible, marijuana, not a huge problem in the congregation at the moment. But you know what Satan will do? He'll take something as good as family. And he'll get your flesh so out of control that you refuse to do anything for God under the guise of family. Family time means I really don't have enough time to personally walk with God. Family time means I don't have any time to win souls. Family time means I really can't participate in any ministry. You know what that's about? The flesh and the cares of this life. And you're going to have to crucify your flesh in order to see fruit produced in your life. Look what it says in Matthew 8, and we'll be finished. Excuse me, Luke 8. So it's not just cleaving to Him, crucifying the flesh. Luke 8, verse 15. Says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, they keep it. Well, that's a blessing. That's good ground. Those that have an honest and a good heart. When they hear the word, they keep it. And they bring forth fruit. Now circle the next two words. With patience. So you know what it's going to take to produce fruit this year, more fruit. You're going to have to continue. And that's not always easy. Oh, Pastor, that's cliche-ish. Continue. Well, so many aren't continuing. People that once were faithful to church haven't continued. So many that once were faithful to read their Bibles haven't continued. So many that used to work in ministries haven't continued. Those that stood in sound doctrine haven't continued in sound doctrine. Those that were pure for a while, physically, mentally, spiritually pure, have not continued to be pure. We've got to produce that fruit but with patience, because we know that that tree does not produce fruit overnight. It's a lot of work, it's a lot of time, it's a lot of effort. And how many gardens have I seen, no matter how small, that have been abandoned? Because everybody has a good idea. Oh, this is going to create character, my kids, and we're going to go out and we're going to work this garden. And that works for all of 6 weeks. I want to ask for a raise of hands this morning. How many mothers have thought, this year also we shall plant a garden? And this year also we shall fail at the garden. Because it doesn't matter if it's cucumbers or tomatoes or potatoes or something as simple as carrots. That's extremely difficult to produce good fruit. And allowing the Holy Spirit to work and cleaving to God and crucifying the flesh means we're going to have to continue in right doing. Look what it says in Psalms 92. Psalms 92, verse 13. Those that be planted, not those that visit, those that go, but those that are planted, we're talking about those that continue in the house of the Lord, shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall, now mark these words, still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat, that's biblical, and flourishing. How many like to be fat and flourishing? Not very many. Pastor, I'm fat, I just don't feel very flourished. How many want to bring forth fruit in old age? You're going to have to be planted. That means how many people have come and gone, and how many have we seen they got in and then they got out? How many have we noticed they made it for a year or two, but they did not continue in order to see fruit produced? In our last text, go to Isaiah 37. Isaiah 37, look what it says in verse 31. And the remnant that has escaped the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Here's the key. You can't produce fruit without root, because you're not going to continue. Those trees that produce fruit long term are the ones with roots, deep roots. Until you get a deep root, you can't produce fruit. You're going to have to continue. It's not a month in church. It's not a year in that ministry. It's not 18 months of soul winning. It's not 20 months of holy living. It's deep roots downward that produce fruit upward. Too many want to produce fruit in 13 months. I invested 10 months in that. I read through my Bible this past year. This year also. Pastor, I've been working on those friends and those neighbors. I've been giving out the gospel, and I haven't been very successful. This year also. Pastor, I worked hard, won some souls. God did a work in my life. I've seen more this year than I've ever seen before. And God says, this year also. Oh, God looked at that tree and said, 3 years, 3 years, 3 long years, 36 months, 3 harvest seasons, not a single fig. Cut it down. The lovely Son of God, the vine dresser, says, give me this year also. Give me 2016. Let me dig it and let me dung it. Give me this year also to invest. And if it bring forth fruit, well, this year I'd make a commitment and renew that commitment. God, I'm going to make sure I'm abiding in you, because it's impossible to abide in him and not see fruit. God, I'm going to make sure I am cleaving to you. I am crucifying my flesh. I'm continuing in right doing. And if you get your roots down deep, I mean deep, that root downward will produce fruit upward.
The Capital City Baptist Church is located at 1300 Red Street in beautiful Austin, Texas. We'd invite you to join us if you're in town. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7:30 each and every Wednesday evening. Our phone number is 512-447-9454, but I'd like to point your attention specifically to our website, capitalcitybaptist.org. There you'll find information regarding service times, the staff, and all about Capital City Baptist Church. Additionally, you can find an archive of previously preached messages there for you to download, enjoy, and pass on to friends and family. Again, that website is capitalcitybaptist.org. That's capital with an O, citybaptist.org. Be sure and tell a friend and do your best to join us again for Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of the Capital City Baptist Church.